Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, let's test the microphone here, Andre. Go ahead and test your microphone.
Steve, does my microphone work?
Yes, your microphone works. Right. Dave, test your microphone.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3.
John DeCause, test the microphone for me. Oh, son of a gun.
Wait, I thought, how is it?
That's unfortunate.
Okay, you know, this is...
Johnny actually had to talk to test the microphone. welcome to the program. This is Marlene Wells Day. Marlene Wells celebrates 50 years at WGN Day. Congratulations to her.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, it's not like it's a 1,000th show. We're not going to spend a whole morning talking about it. Come on.
Or make t-shirts.
It's a nice achievement. So let me just start with one thing here before we get into the top six at six. So Saturday night, and congratulations, Dave, on the Northwestern win.
That was a very nice win.
Yeah,
them.
Big win.
And he needed that.
And I hope everybody survived the rain. We got almost 7 inches of rain in parts of the Western Burbs.
Yeah, they said within the first 2.5 hours, there was more than 1.5 inches of rain.
Wow. You know, I was thinking in the middle of all of it and the floods and all that and driving through some of it late Saturday night, like literally driving through it because you couldn't see, you know, all the problems they tell you. You take that, multiply it by 10, and you get Houston because places got about 5 inches.
Right.
I was going to say Naperville Riverwalk is the river swim.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Same with Chicago, too. They had to close up from Franklin to Lake off.
Yeah.
Wow. Just because it's all flooded now.
And they're still, last night, they were still closing off some roads as some of the water pouring into other areas. It gets fed from rivers, you know, as opposed to the individual ponds were now flooding roads, even though it hadn't rained in 24 hours. It was a mess. And you flew through it, huh?
We were coming home through it Saturday night, right in the middle of it. And, yeah, it was, I mean, you fly a lot through weather and you kind of get used to it, but this was a little, this got your attention.
It lasted a while?
Yeah, because I think there was no way really to get around it.
I was going to say, where would you divert to? Because it was raining and thundering everywhere.
Yeah, I think they took us north and then brought us down towards O'Hare. And yeah, I was holding on to my armrest on the plane a little bit.
Who do you sit next to on the flight?
I was sitting next to one of the video guys.
Did you just hug him and say, we don't know if we're going to make it through?
No.
This could be our last night together.
No, I didn't. I tried to be cool.
Sit next to one of the linebackers, and that way you can cuddle. You can kind of hang on to him in case something happens.
Yes, throw yourself over me and protect me.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Or do what I do and just drive.
Yeah, that would be a good
Swing
idea.
Swing by John. Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the story I was starting to tell you was Saturday night was the night of 1,000 noogies.
Yeah,
for Gilda's Club.
Yeah, huge success, I heard.
Yeah, we had a good time. Mm-hmm. And the lovely and talented Lourdes Duarte and the lovely and talented Dan Ponce.
Did you make up? And, everything's cool with you and Lourdes?
Wouldn't say that.
Okay.
There's some real tension in the air. She'd back it up. A lot of real tension. No, we're fine. But the premise is everybody goes up on stage, celebrities go up on the stage, and they're interviewed by one of the Second City alums. And then the Second City cast, there's four of them on stage with us and a piano player, and then they would improv off our answers in this essentially straight interview. So interesting idea. So they had me go last.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
I'm the closer.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that plan is Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet on CNBC. Yeah, very big show, a hit show. He goes in and takes over a business and shows you how to make literally a profit. But he buys an interest in the business in the meantime, so he's got a stake in it, you know, in it. So the dude's got some money. So he goes up on stage and he's in the interview's fine, it's whatever. And then he says, "How close are we to the goal?" And he brings up some people. And I'm standing off stage because I'm next. I'm going, no, this is not good. This is really good for the cause, but I can see where this is going.
Uh-oh.
And he said, how close? And it turns out they're about 30 grand short. He goes, if you can raise $5,000, I will put the other 25 in. So people start popping up with donations and things. David Hochberg's in the crowd.
Oh, good.
From Pearl Morgan.
That's a good thing.
Hochberg pops for five, just like that. $5,000.
Oh, man.
Just, here's $5,000. Like it's like he has it.
Yeah, in his wallet.
So he's a very generous guy.
Big bills are small.
Here, as we've established many times here, he's an extremely generous guy. And he did. By the way, he did it in front of his wife.
Oh, cool.
So you know he's got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. There's,
So then Marcus Lemonis writes a check for another, like, 30. Goes off stage. Crowd goes bananas. And now Steve Cochran.
What'd you do?
Pulled a 20 out of my wallet and gave it to the four people doing improv.
That's fantastic.
It was fine. Got a lot of laughs, which was nice, but I also made a nice contribution, but the size doesn't matter. Listen.
It does not. not in this case.
No, I mean in all cases. Uh-huh. But Marcus Lemonis is extremely generous. It's just if you're doing this type of an operation, this is not Gilda's Club fault because he did it as a surprise, but if you're doing this type of an operation, you got a really rich guy in the mix. Make the rich guy go last.
Go last, right. Yeah.
Rich guy always goes last. Exactly. I'm doing just fine. I'm not the rich guy. The rich guy needs to go last.
Although I saw in the paper this morning you donated $50,000, so.
I actually went up and donated $100 billion.
Okay.
I mean, you know, might as well.
Here's the keys to my house.
Yes. And my car.
But they got a record number, and Gilda's Club couldn't be a better organization. Yeah. It's all privately funded. Gilda's Club, just Google it and go and have yourself a good time and help them out. And, of course, it's a wonderful organization for anybody touched by cancer. And is anybody not touched by cancer? I don't think so.
Are you going to give all of us $20 now?
Just no. Being here today? See the Second City, folks.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, President Trump's campaign spent more than $1 million on legal fees between July 1st and September 30th. The money comes out of his campaign fund. He's not going to need it for re-election. He won't be in office. It's nearly double what the fundraising committee spent on legal fees during the previous three-month period, and it's expected to go up again. Does the president have legal trouble? How did I miss that?
Wait, check his taxes. Oh, wait.
Next. The Justice Department has dispatched a hate crimes lawyer to where? If you think a hate crimes lawyer would go anywhere in the country, where to be? That's right, Iowa. A hate crimes lawyer to Iowa to help prosecute a man charged with murdering a transgender teen last year. A move that officials said was initiated by the Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Matt Apuzzo, New York Times reporter in Washington, notes Mr. Sessions, a staunch conservative, is sending a signal that he has made a priority of fighting violence against transgender people individually, even as he's rolled back legal protections for them collectively. To me, it's all part of the mystery that is Jeff Sessions. One minute he's in the middle of 1985 going, we really got to put people who smoke pot in jail and keep them there forever. And the next minute he's doing something that seems like it's a great thing for humanity. Who is Jeff Sessions? And we'll be back and behind the music. Next. Mayor Rahm Emanuel releases 2018 budget proposal on Wednesday. The administration last week began trickling out details of the plan, a typical effort to try to keep some things from getting overshadowed on speech day. A little bit here, a little bit there. I understand, Andrea, since you've lived in the city for as long as you have, that in the mayor's budget is $200 million just for you.
Oh, how fantastic would that be? That's, you know what there is, though? $500,000 to fight a big problem in Chicago. Do you know what it is, Steve? The rat problem.
It's probably money well spent. I mean, you know.
And this is, there's going to be a change in the amusement tax.
So for rats?
No, because they're not amusing. But if you buy a concert ticket or whatnot, look for that, or a theater ticket, look for that city amusement tax to increase, and that money is going to go toward fighting Chicago's rat problem.
Whenever I buy tickets for something, and I don't like buying tickets because, you know, that's the reason I got into show business, not to buy tickets. But whenever I buy tickets for something, I'm always amazed at the extras, the charges.
How about it, right?
Like tickets, you know, $75 for an event or something, and then the ticket costs you $311.
Exactly.
Because of all the extras and the add-ons. Some of that city stuff. But then there used to be a printing fee if you printed at your house. I go, wait, it's my ink. You know, why is that the case? You know, those type of things?
Print at home, yep.
Yeah. So it's a scam,
and
is my point.
It's different for each venue, too. So say for the United Center, it might be, say, $5. For Wrigley Field, it could be $35.
It's not good.
No.
Yeah, not good. Next. Combining a couple here, several people have been injured in an oil rig explosion near New Orleans on Lake Pontchartrain, and 270 at least have been killed in a double truck bombing in the Somali capital of Mogadishu. A suspicion is on the Shabab militant group, deadliest attack in Somalia's history. The world continues to spin, and yesterday, Rex Tillerson, here's what I think is going to happen. 100 years from now, okay, 50 years from now, okay, 5 years from now, when historians are looking back on the 1 year that Trump spent in office, and they're gonna be sizing up who the heroes were, the quiet heroes, if you will, and I think it's obvious it's gonna be Kelly, it's gonna be Mattis, it's gonna be McMaster, and after seeing Rex Tillerson yesterday with Jake Tapper, I like Tillerson. I think it might be Tillerson as well. There's no way to answer the question, did you call your boss an effing moron, whether he's the president of the United States or he's not?
Did you see? Yeah,
because honestly, everybody says something about their boss at some point in frustration. Everybody.
Did you see how Saturday Night Live handled that? They said Kellyanne actually, it was Kate McKinnon playing Kellyanne, and she said, no, you completely misinterpreted. She said they actually went for ice cream, and Tillerson wanted more sprinkles, so he leaned to Trump and said, put more on.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, that explains it just as believably as anything else might. Of course he called him an effing moron, because if he hadn't, he would have denied it by now. But honestly, as frustrated as most of America has been, and by most of America, I mean almost 70%, most of America's been in the last 9 months. Who amongst you hasn't called him an effing moron behind closed doors? Amongst friends, family, maybe in your car by yourself. The other 30%, you mostly use those terms for me. But the fact is, you both could be right. So I don't know. I thought Rex Tillerson held up well yesterday in discussing it. There's no way for him to answer the question. And I think he will be one of the small collection of quiet heroes when we look back to say they protected us from Donald Trump.
Tillerson's going 2018, 2018.
Oh, I don't think he is going to go back to Texas so fast. The minute the coast is clear, he'll go back to Texas and get on a horse if he owns one. And if not, buy one. They're lovely. And finally this. We talked about this last week after the insane Washington Nationals series. Cubs got to play better. They didn't get the memo this weekend. Let's go live to Los Angeles where Dave is standing by.
Well, actually, I'm not in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're here in the room,
Steve. I'm on my way back. Yes.
It weren't good.
It's not good. It's not good. But I think the one thing that anybody who's watched this team last couple of years ought to know is that they're fully capable of coming back in this series and winning it. I mean, they've done it before. Now, the last time they were down 0-2 in a series, they did not come back. That was 2 years ago against the Mets, and they ended up losing the first two games at New York and got swept. But they went through a lot last year, and they were down. They lost two straight to the Dodgers. Fell
so you're predicting a comeback. You're guaranteeing a Cubs comeback.
Well, they're not going to get swept. They're not going to get swept.
Dave says that they're going to win it in seven?
Yes.
If they're going to win it, I think they're going to win it in seven.
Yeah, because otherwise they'd have to win four in a row. That'd be a little more difficult, right?
Yeah, but it's possible. It's doable. I mean, last year they won three straight to win the World Series.
So the games this week are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Late games. 8 o'clock tomorrow night and Wednesday night at Wrigley Field.
Those are not convenient for me.
I don't think they're convenient for a lot of people, Television determines that.
The Chicago Bears tried very, very hard to lose yesterday and were not successful.
Yeah, well, give them some credit.
Well, I'll get there. The Chicago Bears tried very hard to lose yesterday, but they were not successful, and eventually, against all plans, won in overtime.
Wow.
Hamp will be on later this morning to discuss this. OB was deeply disappointed in the postgame.
He was.
Not in his postgame, but in the postgame breakdown of things. The defense looked good.
Defense was good.
We got a kicker, which is a good thing. And, the Bears won. The Bears won, and with Aaron Rodgers being the little snowflake he is, what, he can't throw with a broken collarbone? Aaron Rodgers out for the season. That's division's up for grabs, Dave.
It is.
8-8 could win it.
Well, you know, I don't know if
8-8's
going to win
it. The NFL's a mess. The NFL's ridiculous this year.
I mean, I thought if there were ever a sure thing, it was last night. In fact, in the Wang Dang Doodle, I plead guilty as charged. I took Denver big over the New York Giants last night. Final score, 23-10, New York Giants, who looked like a mess going into that game.
Why could you fix that problem of making the pick on your team that was incorrect? Maybe if you include John. Possibly, if you clean
shower. I was actually.
You said I. Trying to. There's no I was, in team. Right.
But there is a me.
I was trying to cover for John. It was John's pick.
Is that accurate, John?
Sure.
Just say no. Just say no, man.
6:32. We continue with Marlene Wellsday here on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Man Big Story next.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
6:44, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, low. Making people better by making medicine better. It's Dr. Kevin now. Most, who joins us now on the telephone. Morning, Doc.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm all right, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. What a wonderful weekend, huh?
Oh, it was terrific. Best weather.
Oh,
great. 5 to 7 inches of rain in the western burbs, depending on where you were.
Yeah, some of that ended up in my basement. So I.
I've got a bit of overkill. I have 47 sump pumps in my basement after it flooded twice. I ever tell you the first time my basement flooded? My helpful insurance agent, and this is why I'm Allstate, by the way. But my first helpful insurance agent said, "Did I not tell you about the rider for a failed sump pump?" I go, no, you did not. Yeah, it's like $120 a year. Do you want to do that? Yeah, probably.
Yep.
It had like $15,000 in damage the first time, and I didn't get a backup sump pump till it flooded a second time, because that's how smart I am.
Well, I'm right there with you. But I have Allstate as well. They're a great company. They've been very nice to me, and mine wasn't that bad. Believe me, like you said when you started, well, we got 5 inches, multiply that by 10, and you'll see what people are getting in Houston, and...
it's insane.
Yep, it's crazy.
Back page story now, and it shouldn't be, is Puerto Rico and what Doc wanted to talk about today, which is frankly, a lot of it's educational for all of us, including us, those of us who should know. We got a major problem on our hands, not just Puerto Rico and the people there that are dealing with the nightmare of just trying to find clean water to drink, but there's an after effect coming, and it relates to pharmaceuticals, right?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. People may not understand, you know, when an island like that gets hit and you look at the devastation of no power and no electricity and all that, you also have to look at what do they produce there that impacts us and how will that impact us? Because 72% of their exports are healthcare-related products. They have 50 drug-making facilities on the island.
Why is that? Why are they all centered there?
Well, you know, I think one thing is labor. Labor's probably inexpensive. They can build the plants a little bit more inexpensively than they can in the United States. And I don't know whether it makes it easier for shipping. I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. But when you look at what's made there, it could have a ripple effect here. And probably something that people don't even think about when we think about medications is the bags of saline. You know the bags of saline that when you go in the emergency room, they hook up to you, or when you're in the
hospital. Every hospital room, sure.
Give you a drug. Oh, we use thousands of them every day. Well, there's two major saline manufacturers. Baxter is one of them, and ICU Medical is the other. And Baxter had a major plant in the Philippines. Excuse me, in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico. So that's going to be a supply problem. Look, supply and demand determine everything, obviously. And we'll get to that piece of the story. But this morning still... and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. But this morning, still, Doc, there's this question of whether or not Puerto Ricans even have healthy water to drink. And there are people
Correct.
Tapping a well that our folks, our FEMA folks, have determined is water that shouldn't be something that people are drinking. And they're doing it because they have no other source.
Out of desperation. Absolutely.
So what are we looking at illness-wise? I mean, the stomach troubles, that type of thing?
Yeah, you're going to start to see a lot of that right now because, you know, they still have heat. You get heat and moisture, you're going to start to see a lot of gastroenteritis, so a lot of bacterial infections and a lot of viruses right now are going to run rampant. They have no refrigeration. They can't refrigerate their food, so they're living pretty much on a day-to-day basis, and anything that they try to keep is going to get rotten or is going to get bad. So you have people that are going to try to stretch that extra meal out of something that hasn't been refrigerated, and you're going to end up with a lot of that. You have no doctor's offices open, so what's everybody doing? They're flooding the emergency room, so those become very inefficient. And you already had a physician shortage in Puerto Rico before this even started. So.
And the USS Comfort is this medical ship that's pretty remarkable, but, I mean, how much can it really handle?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the USS Comfort, if you haven't know anything about it, go look at it. They can take care of the biggest trauma patients in the world. So they can take care of the very severely ill. But the functionality of trying to take care of some of these people who are the wounded warriors, they'll say, or the walking wounded or the walking sick, that's not what the comfort is there for. The comfort is there to take care of those patients who need surgery, need intensive care. What they need now is just some basic medical care and basic health care in facilities outside of the emergency rooms.
This is why you continue to need to let your people that elected you elected, your Congress folks, that go, I don't want Puerto Rico on the back burner. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Andrea, say hi to Doc.
Doc, good morning to you.
Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. So Baxter saw the storm coming, moved some product early. I don't know if Pfizer is the other major drug manufacturer trying to assist with getting pharmaceuticals to Puerto Rico, but will that increase the cost of the drugs both there and here?
You would hope it doesn't, but it certainly may, because pharmaceutical companies then sell their drugs to other companies who then distribute. So the distributor really is going to be the one that has it. Like you said, Baxter was smart enough. They had a stockpile of some of their saline, and they got that off the island before it hit. But now it's going to be the production and supply and demand. You know, you're going to have people willing to pay higher rates, and if gouging happens, I'm sure that we'll hear repercussions from it.
And as we go forward here, we go backward, because the saline question you brought up is just the tip of the iceberg. So what are we looking at cost-wise? It's got to go up, right? If we don't have as many, it's supply and demand.
Yep. Yep. And think about this. 10% of all the drugs used in the United States come from Puerto Rico. I mean, that's a huge number.
It's a big chunk.
We're talking about 7 of the 10 most popular drugs that we use. But more importantly are some of the drugs for transplant patients, chemotherapy. Not huge volume, not huge numbers, but actually life-saving drugs for people. So, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are doing everything they can. And then you get to the ethics of that. Why do we have electricity in these plants when we don't have electricity in the homes? Where are we going to get the workers to come to the plants to actually do it when they're still trying to get their homes up in order? So hopefully we're shifting more away from Puerto Rico into other plants, but it's not that easy. It's not like, oh, let's start making this widget in North Carolina instead of making it in Puerto Rico, because of the chemistry behind it and the equipment needed.
We will keep an eye on the story. And by the way, we got a call from our own personal ambassador to Puerto Rico, the great Ana Balaval, who said there were tax incentives to build the pharmaceuticals in Puerto Rico, and that's the reason they all exploded at the same time. Doc, a little homework for you. 60 Minutes last night featured an ousted member of law enforcement who was chasing down the opioid addiction and doing the right thing, who appears by all accounts of good journalism, good reporting, to have been tossed out of office based on lobbying by the drug companies because he wanted to stop a law that would make it easy for the opioid manufacturers to continue to flood even the smallest of towns with millions of pills a year, and therefore they'd go who knows where. So at some point later this week, I'd like to take this up with you as you get a chance to take a look at that piece, because it's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. You know, it's that story that's not going to go away, and it's that story that until it starts to hit in people's backyards that we need more people to step up to it. But the opioid problem in this country is growing. It's not shrinking, and we haven't gotten our arms around it. But I'll definitely look into that and love to talk to you about it. It's near and dear to my heart and something that we need to take care of here.
And before we run out of time, which we already have, but in my world, before we run out of time, the executive order signed by Trump, which takes away the payments, the subsidies to the insurance companies, to my understanding, and I read way more than I wanted to this weekend about this, and over the course of the last year, is not about the insurance company's stock prices. It's about being keeping up our end of the deal to make sure that those who don't have very much money, I believe the number is 250% of the poverty level is the high end, anybody in that range or lower would still be able to have health insurance at a reasonable cost. And as a real-world example, one family of four that made about $30,000 a year, their deductible would go from $300 a year to $3,500 a year. You know, a tenfold increase. So those, they're called CSR payments. Those CSR payments, do they artificially prop up the stock price, or do they serve a purpose?
Well, they certainly stock, you know, prop up the stock price just because it goes to their bottom line. It shows some more profitability. So, again, will increase the stock price. But, you know, the two things that he did, one is the CSR, and then the other is the allowing of the formation of these associations of small businesses to be able to go in and buy insurance that don't have to have all the benefits of the ACA. So the combination of those two is you've made the insurance companies a little bit less attractive and their bottom line a little bit worse. And now you've allowed healthy people to potentially join these lower cost insurances that have benefits that they think they don't need. And the combination of those just makes for very instability of this marketplace. And since they changed the rule, insurance companies can drop out right now. Well, we have 13 counties just in the state of Illinois that only have one insurance plan being offered in the marketplace. And there's places in this country that are a lot worse off than we are. So this could topple things. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out here in the next couple of weeks.
And it's still confusing, and just in general. I mean, even for me too, Doc. Do you call your doctor? Do you call your insurance companies? Do you talk to your doctor before you receive treatment about it? How do you find out what you need to know before you actually make the appointment?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, the doctors don't even know right now what's going on. The doctors aren't even sure what plans they are going to be in. So, you know, calling the doctor, he might say, hey, you know what, I'm going to stay in the Blue Cross plan. But I'm not sure if Cigna is even going to have a plan. I'm not sure if Healthy Alliance is going to have a plan. So the doctors are almost in the dark as much as the patient is. Hospitals are trying to stay on top of it as much as they can.
How do you plan? This doesn't occur in a vacuum. How does Northwestern Medicine plan for 6 months down the road?
Yeah. Well, you know, the big thing with us is, and the big thing with all hospitals, we take care of our walks through the door. Regardless of your ability to pay, we are going to give you excellent care every day. So forget about that portion of it. We'll take care of you. Sorting out the other end as far as what insurances and what insurances we're actually even allowed to take, it's going to be the financial debacle for insurance companies, individuals, and hospitals.
And I would assume smaller hospitals, which still serve smaller communities, are going to have to be bought up by larger hospitals because they won't be able to make it work.
Absolutely. You know, you're starting to see it more and more and more, the consolidation of hospitals right now, just because it's difficult to run a hospital. It's expensive to run a hospital. I mean, even look at what we're talking about here with Saline. You know, Northwestern, we have much bigger buying power than a single standing hospital out there. So who are the distributors going to want to keep happy, us or a single hospital?
Right.
So the power that's there and allowing doctors to say, hey, you know what, we can take any insurance, come stay with us, versus some smaller hospital to say, hey, we're trying to make payroll this week. We really need to limit and be careful who we're taking care of.
Comes back to the same question, the unending question of politics. Do you want to do what's right or do you want to be right?
Yep.
Do you want to be right or do you want to do the right thing? There are no heroes in Washington anymore. If you can find one, please point them out to me because I can't see them from here. And we've got people struggling in Puerto Rico. We've got people who voted for Donald Trump, who believed in him and believed that he would do the right thing. He doesn't even understand what the right thing is.
Yep.
And the victims are going to be everybody. Just because you're a Trump supporter doesn't mean you're not going to be victimized by this, just one of the problems, this, the cost of your medications. And no, that's not Obama's fault. And no, that's not Bush's fault. This just in, President Trump is the president. It's on his watch. It's his fault. By the way, the lunch, I'll let you go on this. The least lunch I'd least like to be at today. Any idea? Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump are having lunch.
Right.
Because
what they're having or what they're talking about?
I just want to be in the room with either one of them. Don't invite me.
You certainly hope that, too, that this is going to be addressed and then all of a sudden they're not going to go on to tax reform and leave those decisions that Trump has made there to roll out. I mean, we still have an opportunity to stop some of these things, which is going to impact, you know, even in the state of Illinois, you know, a couple hundred thousand people. So we've really got to be careful about what's going to happen here.
Interesting times.
Yep. Hospitals and doctors will continue to step up and do the right thing, Steve. It's just going to be... We just need to figure out the business side of it.
Yeah, well, it can't happen. I mean, it will happen forever, but it can't happen forever in the long term. There's negatives all over.
And you're really late now, by the way.
Be positives. Well, you know, what can I do? I mean, you're just far too fascinating and interesting for me to hang up on you. Well, thank you, buddy.
You got to talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most. I always wonder if his internal clock's going off or if, in fact, he's got other things he needs to do since he's at a hospital. It's Dr. Kevin Most brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Coming up, we'll answer the question, is David Letterman's nephew playing for the L.A. Dodgers? because that dude sure has Letterman's beard.
It's not as gray.
We'll come back on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
From 40 yards out, and the Bears win it. The Chicago Bears come into Baltimore, and Mitchell Trubisky, their quarterback, has won his first game in the NFL.
I was very gutsy. You know, I think, momentum we had early. I think the big takeaway, that Adrian scored on kind of took the wind out of the stadium. Obviously, they made some plays that brought the wind back in.
It was awesome. A lot of fun. Hostile environment. This is a tough place to play and a tough place to win. So went against a really good defense, and it was just great to come away with a team win. So it was a lot of fun with the guys.
Yes, in the awful bowl yesterday, where the Ravens and the Bears tried to outmaneuver each other to eventually lose, someone had to win. And the Bears got it done in overtime. A win is a win is a win is a win is a win. And now, the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, your Chicagoland Chevy dealers. Good morning, Hall of Famer.
Hey, good morning, and you got a little Shakespearean logic there. It is a win, and it counts, and with the malaise up in Packerland from the Aaron Rodgers injury, everything looks a little different this morning, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and really, I'm not kidding when I tell you this, division's up for grabs. The Vikings certainly I slide into the favorites role now. Maybe this Packers kid can play. We don't know. He certainly didn't look like he could play yesterday. But the Bears, okay, if the Bears got on a really good roll, come on, Dave, it's possible.
Well, if they had beaten the Vikings last Monday night and that was possible,
yeah.
And then they'd won yesterday, because the Lions looked awful yesterday in New Orleans. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Hamp, if there's any division in football right now where you say, boy, that's the team.
NFL's a mess. NFL this year, it's like everybody's careening towards 8-8. I don't like it.
Well, like you, I don't like it. It's I hate to say it, but there should be quality. You know, the good teams should win, and
right.
Everyone aspire to be good and not be middle of the road meddling. But I'll tell you this: last week on Monday night, with about 5 minutes to go in the game, the great Ed Obradovich turns to us and says, you know what? They may win this damn game despite the coaching. Well, yesterday afternoon, they won the game despite the coaching. And, hey, sooner or later, you either have to, prove who you are. You have to identify who you are, and the team made some plays and was able to win. And, Ryan Pace has taken a lot of heat, but some of his middle, late draft picks really come up big yesterday. We know that Jordan Howard had an amazing day, and his 53-yard run in the overtime is one for the ages. It was really a lot of good stuff. But Adrian Amos, who was benched early in the year, I think he was number five, Ryan Pace's first year, number five draft pick. Anyway, he was benched, and then all of a sudden, Quentin Demps breaks his arm. He's back in. He's played pretty darn well. Well, yesterday was his best game. He, comes up with the big interception and return for the touchdown that was ultimately the biggest play in the ball game. So there was some good stuff, and it wasn't by the high dollar stars. It was the guys that you need to step up, especially when you're on the road looking for the first win in 658 days of the franchise.
Here's the thing that we'll take up when we come back. Defense, great. Offense, moments of greatness. Special teams, what? It's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, what about those special teams yesterday? Did they miss the bus?
Well, it's kind of an interesting study in a football team. When you're 1-4, you go on the road, and usually the special teams or the guys aren't starting, and it's easy to see, sometimes there's a malaise, and they weren't covering. And the kickoff return for a touchdown was ridiculous. Nobody touched the kid, and he was on the ground for, a split second. So that was bad. But when you don't have, you know, when you as a coach don't understand and you don't have a feel of the temperature of your team and all, and then you get an 11-point lead, and then they drive and cut it to 8. Now, hey, you got a punt. Don't kick it to the returner. Kick it out of bounds. But no, we kick it to the returner, and nobody really covers. The whole right side of our coverage was collapsed. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you get what you deserve. And what was amazing was with 3:37 to go, Baltimore, who was just a hot mess all day, had to do everything exactly right, and they did it, including going for a two-pointer to tie the game where they, you know, it was like a walk-through drill on Thursday. So this team, it was a great win, and any win's a good win today in the NFL.
Yeah.
We're 2-4, but there's a lot of stuff that has to be addressed.
All right, let's talk about the defense for a second, though. Danny Trevathan back, obviously, was ready to go yesterday. But I think overall, Hamp, there's been a bit of a maturing process with this defense now. They've been playing well, but they still weren't forcing turnovers, coming up with plays. And even as it is, I mean, the Bears still were only, I think, plus one in the takeaway giveaway yesterday, but they still converted those points, those turnovers into points that they got. The pick six you mentioned earlier, Callahan's interception. But it seemed like they're just kind of getting it now. And it seems like guys, despite the guys they've lost, despite the injuries on defense, there's a little more of a wholeness to the defense that we haven't seen before.
That's a good way to put it. You know, it's a workman-like effort. They didn't get beat. Obviously, Baltimore's looking for answers. Flacco was horrid.
Yep.
But they only allowed 3 field goals. That's a great effort in the NFL. Beyond that, you mentioned it, coming up with the 3 turnovers. The other one with Danny Trevathan, and you're right. He was he was back. He was on a mission. He wanted to prove, you know, obviously after the suspension, that he was still, you know, viable and wants to be the heart and soul of his defense. And he did a lot of good stuff yesterday. But it was Christian Jones that ripped that first fumble out, mm-hmm, that stopped the very first drive. So, you know, those 2 inside linebackers, you know, they were very valuable. The secondary, Kyle Fuller's best game ever as a Bear. He was a part of both of the interceptions, you know, with such great coverage. The receiver never was able to make a play on it, and the ball caromed off into, one for Adrian Amos and the other one to Bryce Callahan. So there was a lot of good stuff. There was, some good effort. Akeem Hicks, he plays hard. He's running out of gas. I mean, it's, you know, it's game 6, week 6, and he was laboring out there, but he's still a force. There's a lot of reasons to believe, hey, this team is still trying very hard. They want to win, and like I said, a week ago, we almost won a game despite the coaching. Yesterday, we did, despite the coaching.
Last question. If they lose that game in overtime, is John Fox the coach today?
Unfortunately, I believe so, because, you know, Regina McKeskey, such a classy lady. The Bears don't do that. They don't, you know, back in the day, we used to laugh, Ditka wouldn't let a guy back on the bus to go to the airport. Hey, that's the way it was. But today, no, John Fox, and unfortunately, I used the word malaise earlier. I mean, it's kind of a comfortable feeling that you get that nobody's under pressure, nobody's really trying hard, nobody really has a great sense of urgency. Like I said on the kickoff return, have some sense of urgency. Go and make sure the guy's on the ground, tackling, touching, but don't let him get up.
Play to the whistle.
Again. Hey, you know, didn't this remind you so much of the Green Bay game when...
Yes.
The ball's laying on the ground for 7 seconds and we don't even pay attention to it. So, there, like I said, you're right. If we lose that game, that would have been, you know, the ultimate collapse of the Fox era. But even despite coming back and winning in overtime, thank you, Jordan Howard for an amazing effort. And by the way, you know, the stat line of Mitchell Trubisky yesterday was, you know, nothing. It was it's a footnote in history. It was 8 of 16, you know, 100 yard, whatever. But the bottom line was the kid made a hell of a play at the end of the second drive to put him in position, getting out of the pocket, dodging the rush, and getting the ball to Kendall Wright to set up the game-winning field goal. So those are, you know, those are little bitty steps. You don't really make a big deal out of it unless you're watching the development of this kid. But there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons to believe that, you know, 3 weeks, 8 weeks from now, hey, he'll get it, and we'll be a lot more proficient on offense, and hopefully, we won't have another barn burner in Baltimore.
Everything okay with OB and Carmen?
I think so. They went for yogurt. They went for froyo after the show.
With sprinkles. With sprinkles.
OB yelled at Carms yesterday Carms, and then apologized. I think OB felt bad, but Carms is a big boy.
He could take it.
Yeah, but when he apologized, he was yelling at him.
Right. Well, that's the one volume OB has. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thank you, Dan.
Nobody wants to go out the window. Remember that.
Words to live by.
That's deeper than you know. I have Blackhawks tickets, a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks and the Edmonton Oilers this Thursday, October 19th. You're entered to win 4 season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. You know, you're not getting this up and down the dial. Steve Harvey's not doing a riddle this morning. Eric, what is it called? Eric in the Morning now?
Yes.
Eric in the Morning and his sidekicks, Whipped Cream and whoever else is on that show. They're not giving you this. We're doing riddles. Hi, John.
Hello. Good morning.
John DeCause, you have a riddle. First correct answer to the riddle's mysteries.
That's right.
Wins the Hawks tickets. Go ahead.
That's right. These are famous people in Chicago. Here we go. Top of the morning. From the land of the dairy, 57 years, and the state known for prairie. I know way too much about bellies and bean, a Hall of Fame, Walk of Fame, agricultural dream.
First correct answer, 312-981-7200. Read it one more time for me, please.
Yes, top of the morning from the land of the dairy, 57 years in the state known for prairie. I know way too much about bellies and bean, a Hall of Fame, Walk of Fame, agricultural dream.
Andre, do you know it?
I do, yes. This one, for real.
You really know it?
Yes, yes.
We'll take a break, come back, see if she does, and find out who the winner is next in 720 WDGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This is a Republican chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He said that the president has, quote, castrated you before the world stage. That's his word, not mine. What's your response to that?
People in this town get very nervous and get very uptight about having to address serious issues by making decisions. And so the president is simply trying to do that in his very unique style.
That's all you're a cattle, you have a cattle ranch. You don't want to say anything about the senator suggesting you've been gelded before the world. That's not anything that bothers you.
I checked, I'm fully intact.
Gotta give him credit. It's a funny line. It's a funny line. My friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Great work by Jake Tapper. And I like Tillerson more when he talks more. He ought to be talking to the media more, not less.
Yeah, you know, I think that Tillerson's obviously a smart man. You don't get to the height that he has risen throughout his career without being intelligent. He's obviously in a difficult spot here working for this president. But what I found interesting about their conversation yesterday was that, you know, Jake made a very reasonable and I think smart case for why we need to know whether or not he called the president a moron, and yep. It has nothing to do with palace intrigue or gossip
or rumors.
This has to do with the fact that, as Jake put it, this is the one of the most important relationships in the world, and if the American people can't have confidence that these two guys can get along, then that represents a problem. And the fact that Tillerson, who, you know, along that same report, in that same report where he allegedly called the president a moron, that same report also said that he was trying to get out of the job and had to be coaxed back into it. He had no problem denying that he didn't want to leave the job as Secretary of State.
Right.
But for some reason will not say whether or not he called the president a moron. And I think that tells you what actually happened.
Yes. Not denying it means you did it. And again, we have all called our bosses names internally or externally or behind closed doors or behind their backs or maybe to their face in some cases. By the way, that's how you get fired nine times. But in this case, he clearly did it, and the question is valid. It still hasn't been answered, but yet I still think, and I opened the show with this today, Ryan, when Trump is removed from office, and he will be, you're going to look back, and the quiet heroes are going to be guys like Mattis and Kelly and McMaster, and I think possibly Tillerson as well. There's no other way to explain why Tillerson is still there other than there is some measure of patriotism in him, and he feels, as the others do, they got to protect the country from the president. How many times do I have to say this? We've traced the call. He's in the house.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if your theory is a correct one, and obviously time will have to bear that out, I think what we saw over this past week would certainly be evidence of that. Because if you compare the president's rhetoric on this Iran deal and you compare it to the rhetoric of the Secretary of State and the Defense Secretary and the Ambassador to the United Nations, you know, it's almost as if there are two different people talking. And what Tillerson tried to express yesterday in the myriad of interviews that he did was essentially that, hey, listen, we're all on the same page here. We're just coming at it from a different perspective. And it seems as though Mattis and Tillerson and Haley are coming at this with a bit more of a cool, collected hand, arguing that they still have the same ultimate goal as the president, but they're trying to get there in a much more diplomatic way. And if they can accomplish both of those goals, then that would be the direct example of your theory that they are, as Bob Corker said, protecting the country from chaos. And perhaps they find a way out of this current situation where the president gets the political cover he's looking for, you know, because he spent, 18 months saying that the Iran deal was the worst deal ever hatched. But at the same time, we keep a deal in place that prevents Iran from getting nuclear weapons.
When we come back, we will take up Iran and health care and whether or not the people of Iran have appropriate health care. And also, of course, whether Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have been castrated. We'll get to all of that shortly with our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN. Mary, what do you have? Back to our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN. Follow Ryan on social media everywhere. Go ahead, Andre.
Ryan, good morning to you. It just seems like there's a lot of Republican dissent building, momentum building. Steve Cohen announcing soon coalition, that a team he's building to possibly introduce impeachment findings or proceedings against President Trump. And then, of course, you have Mitch McConnell having lunch today with Donald Trump, and then the fallout from Senator from Corker as well. And now Bannon coming out against Corker, too. So it just seems like the Republican momentum is just kind of building against Trump.
You know, I think we haven't reached critical mass on that yet, Andrea. And I still think that and this evidence from Mitch McConnell is going to have lunch with the president today. He played golf over the weekend with Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham on two different days. Paul Ryan still refuses to take any kind of a bold stand against the president. I still believe that most Republicans still think that Donald Trump is their best path to getting anything accomplished, and they're going to continue to ride this until it becomes untenable. And I think that, you know, you're not even going to really see any kind of real movement for Republicans peeling away from the president in mass numbers until after the 2018 midterms. And if the 2018 midterms is a bloodbath for Republicans, and really the only real shot of being bloodbath is on the House side, I think that they're going to try and cobble this together the best they can. And all those examples that you gave, Bob Corker mm-hmm. being the best example, this is a guy who decided he's not going to run for reelection. He's freed from the shackles of trying to get anything accomplished with this president, so he can be honest about it. And Corker's probably right. A lot of his fellow Republicans probably feel that way, but they also would like to hold on to their majority. They'd like to get tax reform done, and they realize the only way they can do that is if they use Donald Trump as a partner and not as an enemy.
The executive orders of the week or to weekend include the lack of subsidy payments to insurance companies going forward. That'll affect poor people and a good chunk of the demographic that supported President Trump. Is there anybody in Washington that cares? I mean, legitimately cares, not politics cares, but really cares what could happen to political or what could happen to poor folks?
I mean, I do think that there is even Republicans that are very concerned about this next move that the president's making on health care, which is essentially what he's attempting to do is just destroy Obamacare from the inside out, and with the hope of kind of scaring Republicans in the Congress to do something about it. And the problem with that is you're alluding to, Steve, is that there are real world consequences to that. When you end these cost sharing reduction payments to insurance companies, and yes, it does go to insurance companies, it doesn't go directly to the people that benefit by it. But what it means is that there's the extended problem that premiums are going to skyrocket for some of the most vulnerable people in America. And so I think I think what the president is doing, he's basically daring somebody like Susan Collins of Maine to vote against the next version of health care reform, because his argument to her is going to be, well, if you don't do this and we don't come up with a replacement, then this thing's all going to just fall apart and then there's going to be even more people without health care. It's a dangerous game that he's playing, but that is Donald Trump in a nutshell. That's the kind of businessman he was. It's clearly the kind of politician he is. And I don't think that he's all that concerned about the fallout. He's more concerned about ultimately winning in the end.
Yeah, and winning at all costs, which, again, is stunning that we've got so many members of Congress who don't dare speak up or say anything because they're trying to protect their jobs. For what? What's going to be left? How much damage could be done between now and next November while you sit there quietly, Republicans and Democrats?
I wonder that all the time, Steve. You know, I think about, and, you know, I'm not in their position, and thankfully I'm glad I'm not in their position, but as an elected member of Congress, you know, you assume that everybody goes there with the proper intent, and I think they do. I think the vast majority of people that get elected to Congress, it's a very difficult job. Put yourself in the public sphere to be attacked by both sides. You know, it's hard, grueling work. But you think about all that effort that you put in, and you have to ask yourself, to what end is that effort? And at what point do you have to compromise your principles on all these variety of levels? And at what point does it become worth it? I think that Bob Corker is a perfect example of somebody who reached that critical mass, decided this just isn't worth it anymore. And you're starting to see, you know, that's a slow trickle right now, but there's all these Republicans in kind of sketchy districts that could go either way who are saying, and they're moderate in their views, are just saying it's not worth it anymore. I'm not running for reelection. And the problem with that is that you're having more and more good people who are just deciding it's not worth it anymore.
Right.
And the people that replace those good people who decide that it's not worth it anymore are the people that are going to make this situation even worse. So it's not a bright future in terms of that. And I, you know, I'm worried about how this impacts the country going forward.
No question about it. And we'll leave you with this. Happy birthday, Tiffany Trump, since her father didn't have time to wish her a happy birthday publicly. He was very busy this weekend. Thank you, Mr. Nobles, as always.
All right, guys, have a great week.
You too. Ryan Nobles from CNN News next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's been a big week, folks. We're getting rid of everything Obama did, health care, the Iran deal, and we're ripping out all the vegetables in Michelle Obama's garden and planting McNuggets. McNuggets. Love the McNuggets. Because we love America, don't we? That's why I had Mike Pence go to the Colts game on Sunday, and when those players knelt during the anthem, I told him to get the hell out of there. But don't worry, we're taking Mike's Colts season tickets and donating them to two lucky fans in Puerto Rico. They just have to fly themselves to Indiana and book their own hotel. Because at some point they have to start doing things for themselves, okay?
That's strong. That's strong writing, kids. Dave Richards still floating around somewhere in the Mediterranean. Or is he still in Greece?
He was in Greece. I think he's on to Venice now.
Okay, yeah, me too. Yeah. As you know, 3 days a week, I wear the traditional gondolier's outfit to work. And then I go out and I play Where's Waldo? We ask all our friends to chip in when Dean's gone, including Delaney Strunk from BuzzFeed, who can tell us everything you ever needed to know about pop culture at Delaney, D-E-L-A-K-N-E-E, all over social media. And good morning, Delaney.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Love BuzzFeed. Love what you guys do. And love that occasionally you just drive me nuts. How many friends quizzes can I take? How many friends quizzes have I sent to you, Andrea?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Love the friends quizzes, though. Yeah,
of course. All right, so how much of what BuzzFeed does is fan-driven versus staff-created?
Oh, wow. It's funny. I feel like a lot of our interests align with the audience, so it kind of is dual purpose. But sometimes you'll have a day, it's kind of like the three for them, one for me mentality, where
right.
you'll try and make quizzes for our audience and then do one that's kind of more you-based.
And for people that submit, I don't even know what they do. How do they go about it?
Oh, so for our contributors?
Yeah.
Pretty much anyone can make a BuzzFeed account and start posting.
Is that right?
It's the way it is. So we have BuzzFeed Community, which is fantastic. And I swear, some of my favorite quizzes are made by community members because they just have this way of thinking about quizzes that is so interesting. But the BuzzFeed Community, anyone can make an account and start posting.
The news department sort of blew up during the 2012 election. I remember in 2012 when Romney was running against Obama and suddenly BuzzFeed was grabbing headlines. Because BuzzFeed had reporters, and a lot of these reporters have been stolen by Time and other places. But BuzzFeed's political side, you guys done a really good job there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're really excited. We have a new morning show on Twitter, AM to DM, which is doing fantastic. And so it's cool to see us kind of branch into news and the different things we get to do there.
So I was looking at some numbers, and it looks like Rihanna's a home run. But also, you know who's huge on BuzzFeed? Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, people love her.
Is it because she just says what she thinks when she says it? And she, you know, she's talked about body shaming and mom shaming and all that stuff.
Yeah, she's so incredibly relatable. I feel like it's hard to go through her Twitter account and not start laughing. Because she has such a good wit to her. And I think our audience just likes seeing someone who's genuine and someone who's honest.
Samberg?
Our producer, Mike, in here, his girlfriend, every time there's a bachelor or a bachelorette on, she and her friends, they cook from Chrissy's cookbook, and they give her credit, and they post it on Instagram, and she always goes and likes everybody's things.
Look at that. It's a small world after all. And, of course, she's married to one of the great singer-songwriters of the modern era, if you will. I tell you, if a guy can, listen, guys, get closer to your radio this morning. Come here, I'm going to tell you a top secret. Learn how to play the guitar or the piano. That's just it. Learn how to play the guitar or the piano. This sense of humor, nonsense. I want a sense of humor. I want honesty. A woman wants someone who can sing a love song to them that they wrote for them. Come on, Delaney, you know I'm right.
Oh, no, you absolutely. If I ever met John Legend, whoo, honey, that'd be a different story.
Look out, Chrissy. Keep Delaney away. what's making news this morning?
Let's see. This morning, so I was just reading it on my way here. Taylor Swift was in London filming her new video in a kebab shop.
And wait.
Excited to what, see what that's about.
What's a kebab shop? Do you literally mean like a kebab shop, like kebabs?
Yeah, like kebabs, like a restaurant. Apparently, in London, she was seen filming there.
So when you think country music, you think London. And when you think kebabs, you think Taylor Swift.
Right. You think Greek delicacy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, here's my question. I grew up in an era where MTV was where you saw music videos. Is it all Vimeo and YouTube now? Is that the place you have to go to see a video?
Yeah, basically. That's where I see them. I mean, when Taylor Swift's new music video came out, we had a thing where we all watched it together, and it was just gathered around YouTube to watch it. It was incredible.
Delaney, I was excited that Sansa Stark is engaged.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see the ring?
Yeah, how about that? And they were tweeting back and forth. I said yes. She said yes. Yeah, Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas.
Well, I know. I called Joe Jonas. John DeCoste and I called Joe Jonas and went, oh, my God, did you see the tux?
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to lie. 12-year-old Delaney is very heartbroken. I feel I should have been the one engaged to him, but she can have him. Whatever. It's fine.
Well, you got to pick, man. It's John Legend. It's Joe Jonas. You can't have them all.
Oh, but I wish.
All right, listen, I want people to follow you on social media because you're very, very entertaining on Twitter as well.
You're sweet. Thank you.
There's the ring, by the way.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh, turn it away. The sunshine is blinding me off the
from
ring.
Delaney's site.
At Delaney, at D-E-L-A-K-N-E-E from BuzzFeed, and of course, BuzzFeed.com for all your consumption of pop culture and news. So enjoy the day, Delaney. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
So, that's pretty good. Pretty good. I like her. She wants to marry every rock star.
She's cute.
So, all right, John, coming up. This is, of course, Marlene Wells Day.
Right.
Marlene Wells celebrating 50 years.
It's amazing.
And coming up, we want to play, and we hope we did this multiple times this morning, but we want to play the Marlene Wells game.
Okay.
So if you think you know WGN radio history, Marlene's been here 50 years. John has accumulated a series of statements that are either true or false during Marlene's 50 years at the radio station. All you do as a listener, you have to tell us whether or not these statements are true or false. And if you're right, we have something from the prize list for you. All right, so that's coming up in a second. Also, there's a very cool new exhibit coming to the Museum of Broadcast Communications, an exclusive run of the Saturday Night Live exhibit. So we'll talk to Larry Wirt about it. You know, Larry Wirt runs that, too? He runs a Museum of Broadcast Communications? Mm-hmm.
He's a big guy. You better be nice to him.
Yeah.
No, let him win at golf.
No, I've known him a long time. I don't have to be nice to him. Larry Wirth, the big kahuna at Tribune Media, joins us. Where in the world are you this morning?
Hi, Steve. I'm actually on my way to New York.
And you're paying off a bet, loan shark situation? What's going on there?
Just trying to get your contract extended for another week, actually.
It is a seven-day rotation, isn't it? Hey, I wanted to tell you, I mentioned Lourdes and Ponce. I mean, you know all the Ponce brothers. There's Dan, there's Harpo, there's Chico, there's Zeppo. They're all there.
And their father.
And they were so great Saturday night at this event. And they go up on stage, and they incessantly plug Channel 9. It would have made you weep openly.
I'm proud. Gilda's Club is an amazing organization. And I've been involved for about 20-plus years. You mentioned Laura Jane. She leads it well. And, boy, they bring a lot of comfort to families that are touched by cancer. And we all are.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right. So I don't understand your role with the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Are you in charge of that as well? What are you not running currently?
The museum asked me to help out a year ago. And we got very excited about a project, an exhibit that we eventually pulled off. We're bringing the Saturday Night Live exhibit, the exhibition, to Chicago. It's going to come to the museum. And Friday night, we're having an event to have a first look at it. And then the doors open on Saturday. It's really cool.
And is the Friday night thing charity?
Yeah, some of the proceeds are going to go to the Murray Brothers Foundation for first responders, and some are actually going to go to the museum to help support this event specifically. Sure. And but it's kind of like a first look, and they're working hard right now to install all the exhibits. It's pretty cool. It did launch in New York a couple of years ago, but I don't think it was the location and everything in New York. It was revered, but not like it's going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is going to, there's going to be special folks coming in, lots of surprise guests. But the theme of this, can you tell us what it's going to look like without giving up the surprise?
Yeah, it's taking up like, I don't know, 30,000-40,000 feet on multiple floors of the museum. You know, part of the experience is actually going through the first 6 days, the 6 days before a live show. They kind of show you how Lauren Michaels kicks off a new show and
how they put the show together. And from the Tuesday pitch meeting all the way through, you know, building the sets, putting it together through the dry run and the actual show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. You've been on the show, haven't you? Did you host in the 70s?
Yes, I did. I hosted throughout most of the 70s when you were just a child.
With Belushi. Yeah. Hey, Larry, and the strong Chicago ties, too, to SNL.
Yeah.
Murray. I mean, it's just endless, all the Chicago
Belushi,
ties.
Murray?
Belushi, yeah.
There are tons. Tim Kazurinsky is coming out Friday night. And Tim Meadows. And we've got others like Nora Dunn, some new people like Alex Moffat and Chris Redd and Luke Knoll. It's Julia Sweeney, I understand. People are just signing up now. So it should be a fun night. You're going to have some Blues Brother activity and great food provided by and drink by Blue Plate. So it should be a fun night, but I can tell you it's a very cool exhibit. It's a fun experience.
So the public gets to see it starting on Saturday, but are there any tickets left for Friday night?
Yeah, I think actually the weekend is fairly sold out, but the party still has a few tickets left. If you're interested, just go to snlparty.com, right. snlparty.com. And as of last night, there are tickets left. I'm not sure how many, but and then, you know, it'll be open to the public, you know, starting right after. But
yeah, and it's not going to be here forever. It's just a matter of a few weeks. So you need to make plans to see this. And not put it off to the last minute. So you can get tickets for the exhibit on an ongoing basis, but it's going to be gone before you know it. You still need me to valet park cars Friday?
Yes.
All right.
We also need you to validate your driver's license before then, but we can talk offline.
It's a separate department.
It's going to be actually there more than a couple of weeks. We hope to have it there, you know, for a while throughout the year, but...
I'm trying to sell tickets. I'm trying to create demand.
I know, but you know, we're authentic with our GN audience. You know that.
All right, fine.
PT Barnum.
It's scheduled for a specific run, but the hope is to extend it for a very long period of time.
Yeah, that's the hope.
That's what we're talking about. All right, I don't want you to miss your plane. Do you have money for New York? Do you need anything?
I think I'm okay.
All right, don't talk to strangers.
Tribune credit card. I just hope that happens on the plane. You know, every time you get an airplane, you hope you don't have a talker.
Look down and pretend that you're talking to yourself. They'll think you're crazy and leave you alone.
Oh, thank you.
It's your tip of the day. Thank you, Larry Wharton. Thanks for letting us work here.
Thank you, guys. SNLparty.com.
Have
some fun Friday.
SNLparty.com. We'll get some tickets. The Marlene Wells game. Will be played in a matter of just minutes. We're very excited about this. Coach Ditka coming up, and then John is going to host the Marlene Wells game. You think you know your history. I know Bob's standing by to play. We're a little tight on time. We can bring Bob back as a contestant if he likes in a few minutes. Let's take a break, come back, and get the big story next on 720 WGN.
Ditka.
Well, it's coming right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
the Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
Well, you get Codge, you get Hamp, you get OB, and then you get the coach? I mean, come on, who's doing this? Nobody. I don't know, Coach. I watched that game yesterday. Welcome, Mike Ditka. I watched that game yesterday. A win is a win, even as ugly as that was.
I'll tell you, guys, but they're doing some good things. You got to look at what they're doing. They're not doing stupid things. They're playing good defense. They play great defense, and they can run the football. When you can do those two things, you can be competitive with anybody. Take a look at the division they're in. The only team that won yesterday, I think, was Minnesota. Detroit got hammered. Green Bay's got a lot of problems right now,
yeah,
too,
did.
Because they got the quarterback out. So when you really look at that, the whole key to this is get into a position where you can win your division and get in the playoffs. And I think that they got a good chance. I mean, I know Minnesota's a pretty good football team, but I think the Bears are a pretty good football team. You got to look at everything, you know, and I think as you win, if you get more confidence. I think the confidence will grow.
You know, Steve and Mike, the Bears ran for 231 yards against Baltimore yesterday, the most that the Ravens have ever given up in a game, and they had, what, 4 sacks, 3 takeaways. Mike, this was like a page right out of your book. I mean, this is the perfect way to win games, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is kick butt football. I mean, and you got to love it. I mean, there's nothing fancy to what they're doing. You know, I think they got I like the young quarterback. I really do.
Yes, I'm here.
I like the receivers, the running backs. I mean, these guys, you got a power running back. You got one that's pretty elusive. You know, there's a lot of good things. They play well in the special teams area in the return game. So, you know, you got to be. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, you got to be optimistic. I mean, I'm looking at that division. And, you know, I think the Bears got a good chance to win that division.
Yeah, I was with Jared Payton over on the TV side last night. I mentioned him. We showed the highlight of Tariq Cohen's touchdown pass. And I said, that's 1984 at RFK Stadium in the playoff game. Walter Payton to Pat Dunsmore, right?
Yeah, Pat Dunsmore. What a name out of the past. Yeah, I mean, you know, it went. But here's the thing. When you had a running back like Walter, I mean, nobody expected him to run out there and throw the ball. I mean,
right.
It was kind of an element of surprise, too. But he could throw the ball. He loved to prove how he could throw the ball. And he'd kick with the punters, and he'd out-punt some of the punters. So, you know, we had a lot of fun with it. You know, and the thing we try to do back then, whether it's right or wrong, we try to keep it light. We try to inject one play or two plays in that were kind of gimmick plays. And you know, sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. But that one worked pretty good.
The Bears' depth chart at quarterback now includes the punter and the slot back. Because the punter made a nice pass a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's right, Pat.
Absolutely. But, I mean, the Bears quarterback right now, I think, is pretty secure. I think they got two kids that can play the position very well. You know, you wish the best for both of them. But, I mean, Mitch did a good job. I mean, he's going to learn on the job. It's going to he got time to wait around. He's going to be learning as he does it. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. But again, this is a football team that's going to be dictated by how they run the ball and how they play defense.
The special teams were a bit of a concern yesterday, but there was a fluky play there too. Did the knee hit the ground? Did it not hit the ground? As a coach, do you ever have flashbacks where your head explodes if you think there's a funky call just while you're watching the game?
Well, you know, of course, back then they didn't have the instant replay as much as they do now. They didn't have the ability to try to fix it. The whole idea of instant replay, and you know, when this came in, I was coaching, so I fought for it. It's to try to get it right. That's the only thing. It's not to make the officials look bad. It's to try to get it right. These guys are out there playing their butt off. They're playing so hard. You want to get the call as right as you can. Now, maybe there is no such thing as perfection, but I think you can see when you watch it on the replay, you can really see what's happened. And the guy's down, he's down. If he's out of bounds, he's out of bounds. If the ball hits the ground. I mean, it's not too hard to figure out.
We got a listener named Adrian who celebrates the same birthday you do. I believe you have a birthday coming up on Wednesday. Is it cool if I get you the same thing I got you last year?
Yeah, it's okay. That'll work out real good. I mean, I would, get a different bottle. I know, you know, I don't celebrate him anymore. I'm very fortunate, you know, to have him. I was thinking the other day, and I get, you know, I guess when you get older, you reminisce a little bit. I'm thinking, God, it's been one heck of a run. I mean, no worry, good, right. The bad, the ups, downs, you know, whatever people think, it doesn't matter. But I tell you what, I think it's been one hell of a run.
Yeah, no, it's hard to deny that.
Mike, you mentioned the Green Bay Packers are in big trouble right now with the injury to Aaron Rodgers. They put Brett Hundley, the backup, in the game yesterday. He struggled against a very good Minnesota defense. If you're Green Bay now, do you go out and try to find a veteran quarterback like Miami did when they picked up Cutler in the preseason after the injury to Tannehill? Or do you try to go with this kid and just try to help him by doing what the Bears are doing, running the football and playing defense?
Well, I think they're going to go with Brett, I don't think there's any question about it. I think they're going to be looking, too. You got to look. You know, when you take a guy like Rodgers out of the Green Bay football team, you're talking about one of the superstars in the league, one of the best quarterbacks I've seen in the last 25, 30 years, and it really hurts. I mean, you know, it's not like they were a team that could depend on their defense or their running game. You know, they depended on what they got out of the quarterback position with the play action, the passing game, and things like that. So it's going to be tough, but they'll probably go out and pick somebody up. I mean, believe me, I think the guys up there will be the starter, but they'll bring somebody else in.
You know, it's funny, that tackle that took Rodgers out was a classic wrap tackle as opposed to these explosion spearing tackles that go on now. And to me, that's the easiest fix in the game. It's like the dumbest rule in golf is hit your ball in the fairway, it lands in a divot, you got to play it out of the divot. Now, if it's in the fairway, you ought to be able to take a drop. In football...
You mean you still hit it in the fairway?
Well, not that often. You've seen me play. But here's the thing. You take these flying missiles out of football, Coach, and you're going to worry way less about concussions.
I agree. I mean, I watched the way the guy came down on him, and really it bothered me. Well, that's football. I mean, you guys, you know, I tell people, they ask me about the game of football, and I tell them one thing, is they're bigger, faster, and stronger than when I played the game. And they have a lot of collisions. And usually when two things collide, moving at a high rate of speed, something happens. Now, you know, you take a car, two cars, that's a problem. That's a crash. But when you have two helmets hitting or two heads hitting, a lot of things can happen.
Sure.
And you know, shame, but that's the game. That's the nature of the game.
Happy birthday, Coach. I hope you have a good time on Wednesday. What I picture for you is maybe a little golf if the weather cooperates and a big steak for dinner.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm not paying for either one, by the way. Hold the line. That's Coach Ditka.
It's his birthday. I mean, come on.
All right. I'll pick up.
Because he has a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, what am I saying? Go to your own joint.
Would you get him last year? You said you get him the same thing last year?
Yeah, I got him nothing last year. Yeah, so that's right. 8:51. We have a long-standing tradition of not getting each other anything. 8:51. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN. Mary.
And traffic sponsored by UPS Jobs.
Yeah.
This is the fastest growing game in America. It's the Marlene Wells game. Marlene Wells has been the cornerstone of our promotions department for 50 years today. 50 years.
Phenomenal.
Started here when she was 3. So, very bright toddler at that point.
She was an intern?
Yeah.
Then?
Orion Samuelson's been here 56. He calls her kid. Yeah. Can you imagine working 50 years?
No.
At one place?
Mm-mm. Can you?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said that. I couldn't imagine it a year and a half after I started. So here's the deal. We're going to play the Marlene Wells game. But first, a blatant plug for our next stand-up comedy event.
Oh, that's right. Friday the 27th. Friday night the 27th at Zany's St. Charles.
Well, that's a week from Friday.
That's right. Steve Cochran, myself, and Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Show. And then that's at, you can go to zanyspheasantrun.com to get tickets. And then the next day, we are doing Rosemont Zany's with you, myself, and Tim Kavanaugh.
And that's an early Saturday
that's
show.
That's an early Saturday
five
show.
5 o'clock or something?
I think it's five. Yeah, with Tim Kavanaugh. And you go to zanyesrosemont.com. Come out and see us both. This is it.
And the reason we're doing an early show is because a lot of people have Halloween parties
that night.
You can do both.
It's like a day and night baseball game. Like a night game the night before, then you get the day game.
Yes, it is. That's exactly.
Yeah.
All right, the Marlene Wells game. John has a series of statements that have occurred over the 50 years that Marlene has worked here, or have they? If you know the answer, it's simply true or false. You'll be a big winner. Give us a test one so we know how to play the game.
Sure. In 1971, the Noon Entertainment Show was called Marlene and Milt.
1971, the Noon and I'm going to go with false.
I don't know. Marlene and Milt had a
Dave?
Pretty close relationship.
That's false.
John?
No, that's true.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
No, it's false.
That is false.
But what a great idea, John.
That is false.
Let's go to Joe in Vernon Hills. Joe.
Hello.
All right, stand by, Joe. Here's your statement from the history of WGN.
Okay.
Joe, in 1983, Marlene Wells had a Chicago street named after her, appropriately named Cermak Road.
Well, that's so outrageous, I'm going to say false.
Good answer. That's how you play the Marlene Wells game. Seems to be a theme developing in that false area. And we're going to give our new best friend Joe from Vernon Hills tickets to Cupid Has a Heart On. Got to be careful how you read that. On the fast-paced, rabbit musical sketch comedy show for adults every Saturday night. Get them at stage773.com and a Lumel 90s gift certificate as well. CLTV joins us on 720 WGN, and the news is next.
All of us online.
Chicago.
And on demand. WGNRadio.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:12 in a world where great food is appreciated. Great food, great times. Plus efficiency, you know, where you can get it done, get it great, get it good, get out. I mean, that's pretty good. I want you to meet my friends, the Davids. You were just talking about DMK Burger Bar the other day.
Oh, one of my favorite. Love the one on Sheffield. Was there probably late last year. One of the best burgers in Chicago, if not the best.
Well, David Morton's a name most of you know from the Morton Steakhouse legacy. And David Grossman is a franchise genius. As a matter of fact, I don't even know why. He just walked in. I gave him $100,000 in cash. He said, I'll let you know what you opened.
Okay.
And also, James Beard-nominated chef Michael Cornick all getting together to do DMK Burger Bar as a franchise. Let me go to you, Mr. Grossman, on this. Did you pitch this idea, or did they come to you?
It was a joint effort.
David and I have known each other for some time, and we've talked about doing something together for some time. And when we really weren't sure what to do over the last 10 years, I suggested, how about the MK Burger Bar?
Well, here's the thing, though, and you know this better than anybody. David, you got quality because you can control it. The great concern in franchising, right, is now I'm letting other people touch my stuff, and it's still got my name on it. So is that a concern when you are conceptualizing this?
You know, it's more of the motivation. We've DMK will be 8 this year.
So how do you grow it? How do you expand it? How do you freshen it up? That kind of thing?
Well, you know, we've got 5 stores.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the notion of having an owner-operator is on-site is really, you know, preferential to us versus, you know, trying to manage things remotely or out of state. So we actually like the idea of that.
And you're always packed, so get there early, too. I got a question for you guys. I love your burgers. I love a great hamburger in general, cheese with bacon, too. But what's now everybody's putting an egg on the hamburger?
You know, there's just so many different combinations that have become popular, I think largely as chefs have entered the space and have come up with all different
because we can agree, right? Chefs are crazy. Yeah, chefs are lunatics. You know, unlike talent and show business, chefs are they got a screw loose. But you got one of the best period involved in this project.
Yeah, Michael Cornick's it's actually the first time a James Beard Award James Beard nominated a chef has franchised a restaurant before. Not only has Michael been nominated once, he's been nominated 5 times. So he's somewhat accomplished.
All right, so how do you get in?
Well, you need to apply.
You need to know the secret handshake?
You need to apply. No, right. We really want business leaders in certain communities that either have restaurant experience, might own a handful of other, you know, bakeries or some other
concept. So you want hands-on owners-operators. You want people with stake in the game.
Absolutely. That's the only person that we would deal with is someone who will either quit their job and make this a full-time effort or someone who's already in the space and they want to add burgers to their resume.
I was going to say, what if somebody's got the money, got the desire, got the will to learn? Is that somebody you'll consider?
Sure. Yeah. As long as this is a full-time commitment, it's just not a part-time job, it's not a hobby. As long as we can see eye to eye and we think that they've got the potential.
There's your standard and quality. Now, when the word about this got out, you must be getting feelers from everybody. Where do you think you're going first? Any idea?
Well, we think we're going to end up opening a few more stores in Chicago.
In the burbs or in the city?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, Chicagoland. We're looking at some neighborhoods as well as some suburbs. We have a few interested parties for Milwaukee and Madison, Detroit, St. Louis, Minneapolis, and Kansas City.
So it's going to grow out of the Midwest and take over the country.
Correct.
Yeah, there you go.
The world, actually.
Oh, the world. Well, at least the goals are attainable. what do franchisees not know about doing it right? Because there's a lot of people that go, well, here's some money. Let's go do this. How hard could it be?
Well, I think the two biggest issues, one is hiring. So I really call it hiring, training, developing, and motivating a staff.
Right.
And the second is the importance of dealing with stuff. Every single day in the restaurant business, something will go wrong. You might not get a delivery. An employee might not show up. An employee might cut their finger. Every day, something will go wrong, and it's how you deal with it is what will make you successful.
I think dealing with stuff, and it could be another S word. dealing with stuff is kind of the cornerstone of the business as well, right? You got to be willing to get it. The hours are long. The margins aren't guaranteed. But getting into business with you guys is a pretty good start.
You guys have a great menu, too. So there's such a huge variety. Do you have, like, burger tastings in the back kind of to come up with the menu? Because, I mean,
Are you volunteering? Basically.
Well, kind of, yeah. There's smoked Swiss. There's, you know, all kinds of special sauces. I mean, you just kind of go back and try different things to put on the menu?
Well, I mean, unbeknownst to most people, Morton's can't boil water. So, but we do have a process in place for it. We have a program called Cooking with MK. Which is a monthly ideation summit. We have within the DMK restaurants portfolio, we have 10 brands, and we know that the ideas can come from more than just the chefs. So to that end, we invite anybody in from around the company. It doesn't matter if you're in the dish room, behind the bar, et cetera, to come and present ideas and then work with Michael Cornick to optimize it. So we have just a vast pipeline of ideas and things that are always kind of in the works.
You got to be in the shake business now, too, don't you? You got to have the high-end shakes.
Amen.
So tell me about the milkshakes. What do you two know about milkshakes? Come on.
We like to drink them.
Actually, when we started the business, we brought in a guy from Philadelphia, believe it or not, a self-proclaimed milkshake expert that helped us develop the...
So like a milkshake sommelier.
Essentially, yep.
Yes, yep. Yes. What goes best with my turkey burger? I fee you with a strawberry.
Are you going to, can you tell the secret to the onion strings? Because, come on, I know you're laughing, but they're not greasy. They have a kick to them, too. They're onion strings.
They're light, airy, awesome. And healthy.
Right. Unfortunately, Michael's in the test kitchen today, but he could have you salivating through his description on the process for how it is that that we do these things.
They're so good.
You know, there's several steps to it. All the recipes are relatively simple and executable. You know, I think that one of the differentiating factors between somebody like Michael and others is his understanding of seasoning, and flavors just pop.
In addition to that, best veggie, what? Mm-hmm. No, best veggie burger. You know, it depends on your take, I suppose. Best veggie burger in Chicago by Chicago Tribune. Best fries in Chicago by Chicago Magazine, amongst the awards won. I think Bon Appetit was most iconic burger for, what was it, Chicago Eater or Eater Magazine or something? Listen, the trophy room's getting hard because you're packing them in.
We might have to put you in the marketing peril.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. So if people want to know about the Franchise Inn, this is the website I have. Tell me if this is right. dmkburgerbar.com/franchise?
That's correct.
Everything I need to know is right there.
It'll get you started.
All right, if I want to give up on show business by Friday, I'll be talking to you then, right?
I'm around.
All right. Any other thoughts for our friends?
No, I just think it's cool. I love I think it was the DNA story or the Eater story that you want to open 400 locations in 10 years. I think it's going to be great. And you had Soldier Field, too, so yeah. That's great.
You can't call it Steve's, though, Steve.
No.
Yeah.
DMK. You know me. I like to take a background position anyway. Of course, I want to get in there. Yes. I want to do my 12 hours. I want to be there with the crew. I want to clean up afterwards, but I don't want to make it about me. It's never been about me.
Never.
On the Steve Cochran Show currently on WGN and on CLTV. Where's my sign? congratulations to you guys. And I like your smiles because I know you guys are having fun doing this.
Thank you so much.
You nervous?
Always a little bit.
Well, of course, a little bit. That's the right feeling to have. If you're not nervous, get out. Well, look at Grossman over there. He's just laid back. He's cool. Yeah, right? He's ready to rock. He's going to have 200 of the 400 open by the weekend. Again, it's dmkburgerbar.com/franchise. Get to a DMK Burger Bar. Have yourself a great meal. You deserve it. 921, more in a moment on 720 WGN. From the people that brought you America's favorite game show, guess which hand it's in? And its spinoff and follow-up, Hey, Does This Look Infected? It's time for John DeCoste, host of the Marlene Wells Game. John, can you tell me who Marlene Wells is?
Marlene Wells is celebrating 50 years today.
At WGN,
starting years. October 67. How about that?
50 years.
Yeah, with promotions and marketing.
What were you doing in October 1967?
I was working here at WGN. I started the same week she did.
Dave, you had just graduated from Northwestern.
No. Would have been 1967. I was in junior high school, now known as middle school.
1967? Mm-hmm. I was in first grade.
Okay.
1967? That was about 20 years before your parents' bottle of wine, in your case, wasn't it?
There you go. You know, I was a thought in my parents' minds at that point, I think.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, you were in first grade in 1967.
I was with you in the first grade,
trying
to avoid the paste.
Do you remember your first grade teacher's name?
My first grade teacher? Sister Martina.
Yeah, mine was Miss Butler. Hello, Miss Butler.
Martina slept
Why
us
do you
with
say
her.
That?
Hello, Miss Butler. I'm Ms. going Butler. To need some help with reading.
Did you have a crush Bow on your first grade teacher?
You had a crush on your first grade teacher?
I was six.
You're a little young.
All right, we're going to fire through these calls. Are you ready, host?
I am ready, yes.
Let's go to... I think it's Jim. Jim in Bensonville. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Great. Simple, true or false. John, what is the statement for Jim?
Here you go, Jim. When Marlene started at WGN, she reported from traffic from the Kennedy on her old vintage Huffy Cruiser.
Oh, bicycle traffic. Jim, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's correct.
That's correct.
She's pedaling along.
I got another Jim in Dixon. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for calling in. Here's your statement.
Here you go, Jim. Marlene came up with the catchphrase for Paul Harvey. This is Paul Harvey, curds and whey.
No, that wouldn't have been the statement. No, false.
Paul Harvey never said curds and whey. Or did he?
Let's see.
Is it Joe in Chicago or Joey or Joy? Who is this?
Joe.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing, man?
Fabulous.
All right, fabulous, Joe. Here's your statement.
Here you go, Joe. From 1968 to 1970, Orion Samuelson and Marlene hosted a weekly game show called Pork or Beans.
I don't think true.
That possibly is no false.
False.
Good. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer.
That's a good one, though.
Andy in Rockford. What's Andy's statement?
What's Andy what?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, what's Andy's statement?
Oh, here we go. Sorry. Are you ready, Andy? I apologize.
What show are you doing?
I was sorry. In 1975, Andy. In 1975, Roy Leonard would call Marlene every Thursday for CTA and bus schedule updates.
I think that's probably true. That does sound like something that would have been Marlene's department.
Sounds true.
Andy, it's false. So false. False. Oh. Andy, for being the only idiot to play this game today, you're a big winner. You won as well, Andy. Hold on. And finally, unnamed caller on line five is Greg from Mount Prospect. Good morning, Greg.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Yeah, the final statement, Greg. I don't know if you've noticed a theme developing, but false has a good chance here.
I hear that.
All right. So go ahead, John.
Okay. At one time, the call letters for WGN, World's Greatest Newspaper, was changed to Wells' Greatest Non-Alcoholic.
Oh. Wow. That is good because it's Marlene Wells Day.
I would say that's false.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Congratulations, all of you, including Andy, who wasn't paying attention. All of you have won app gift cards. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Brandon Sod coming up. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Sponsored by MB Financial Bank, Breakfast of the Blackhawk with the great Brandon Sod this morning. Welcome to the program, Brandon. It's been a little while. What's gotten into you?
Hey, how's it going, Steve? Dave, how are you?
All he does is score goals. And the game went the other day. Sutter, I don't know if you remember, the first time you and I talked, you were the last thing you wanted to do was be on the radio. You were a little nervous about it. And, all that. And then Dave Ennett and I, we did the convention, as we do every year. And you're coming in and you're raising the roof on the crowd. I don't know what happened to you in Columbus, dude, but you got there's a whole new Brandon Sod going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. A few years older. Definitely feel more comfortable this time around, so it's been good.
Yeah, I could say. Finding the back of the net as many times as you had.
He's on pace for 82 goals, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, Sutter, we're going to need all 82. No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, exactly.
Does the net look bigger? Does the puck look bigger? Because I believe you can be in an extended zone in hockey the same way you can be in other sports.
Yeah, you know what? We're just playing well right now, and I think coming back, playing some great players, and having that confidence of being around the net, the pucks are finding a way in. You know, it just so happens they end up to be the game winner or whatever the statistic, I don't even know. But it's been fun hockey. It's been fun winning, and we're looking to continue it going.
How about your chemistry with Jonathan Toews and on that top line, Brandon, and you guys working together along with Richard Panik? I mean, it just seems like everything is gelling for you.
Yeah, we've been off to a good start. You know, I know in the past we had success, and Richie plays that similar type of game with a big body protecting the puck and holding on to pucks down low. So I think as a line, that's what we want to do to wear teams down. Obviously, our rush game, you can score off the rush, but that's the type of game we like to play to break teams down. And so far, we've had success doing it.
So you go to Columbus for a couple of years. We were all shocked when that deal was made. But as you know, the salary cap situation has been as hard on the Blackhawks as anybody. And they made the move they had to make. When you get the call that you're I know there was some sniffing around about it. But when you get the call, it's official, you're coming back. How did that feel?
I was excited. You know, at first I was shocked a little bit. I didn't expect it to be so soon, but how can't you be excited to come back to a city and a team like this? So just pure excitement, really.
Yeah, and people thought, well, Sutter's like 35 or 40. Panarin's 18. How could we make this? Panarin's older than you.
Yeah.
I think he's...
Yeah, I might look older, but yeah, he is. Yeah.
Well, it takes a lot out of you to score all those goals. But we love Panarin. Panarin was great, but I was so thrilled to get you back, and especially with Big Hoss on the sidelines, at least for now, taking some of those minutes in the corner away from Taves can open up him a little bit as well. I don't know. I'm very optimistic about this team, as you can tell.
Yeah. Well, we have an exciting team, so it's still early, but I think we have a lot of positives showing. Like I said, it's been an exciting start. We're looking to continue going. I think we're definitely happy where we're at right now.
Was there a little something extra? I mean, I know it's a division game, but was there a little something extra in that game the other night against Nashville?
Not for me. You mean for the team?
No, I'm asking.
You're talking to Sutter.
Yeah, because you weren't part of it last spring, Brandon, but obviously you had to know all about it and what happened and how guys were feeling about their first shot at Nashville this season.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I wasn't here, like you said, but knowing what went on and watching a little bit of it, you definitely know that the guys were ready to play for that game. And that was a big one. You know, it's a divisional game, not only what happened with last year, but every point's big in this league. And it was definitely one we were all up for.
So was there any special welcome back by the boys? Because, you know, we had you once a Blackhawk, always a Blackhawk, but you come back you know, did Kaner or Taves or anybody give you a little dressing room hazing?
No, not too much, really. It's been all good, you know, kind of right where I left off with those guys. And then it's been good to meet the other guys over training camp and get familiar with the faces and all that. So we got an exciting group, like I said before, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
And Q is thrilled to have you back as well. How you doing with Q?
He's good. I mean, that guy's, he's great to play for. He's at where he's at for a reason. He's had all that success for a reason. And as a player, I mean, he's definitely fun to play under. He wants the best out of you and demands the best out of you, so it makes you better as a player.
Yeah, keeps your game up all the time. Pete Mashinsky is a listener and has today's MB Financial Bank Breakfast of the Blackhawk listener question. And it's about Coach Q. Who is Coach Q's pet player and who's always in his doghouse?
Oh, boy. I don't really know. I mean, coming back, I know, I guess I could say Kaner's one of his favorites, but Kaner's one of all of our favorites. So, that's tough not to say. And as for the doghouse, it's still early. So I haven't seen too much of it yet with us winning some games, but I'm sure it'll pop up eventually.
Yeah. He'll ride somebody a little harder than the rest, but there's a strategy behind that as well. I remember talking to Lou Piniella about this, Dave, where he'd go, and Piniella had a great take on it. He goes, you got to be a school teacher. He said, in any classroom, you've got kids who can perform at a certain level, and then kids who can perform at a middle level, and kids who can perform at a higher level, and you got to be able to teach all of them and work and get the best out of all of them, which I think is a pretty fair take. And all you have to do, Sutter, to stay out of the doghouse is keep scoring.
Yeah, it's easy as that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I was able to help you out. anyway, dude, I just want you to know we're thrilled you're back. We love having you on the show anytime, and Chicago loves having you back in town as well. And congratulations on such a great start.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All the best.
All right, thanks.
It's Brandon. So I don't know if you know, Dave, six goals
in six games.
In six games.
It's pretty good.
Panarin has two in Columbus, but he spends a lot of time weeping.
Yeah, well.
He misses Chicago in Russian.
How about, and I was glad when Columbus came in last week.
Yes,
that he got a nice ovation.
He should have.
United. He should absolutely.
He's a great kid,
but it doesn't always happen that way.
And they're not all great kids from Russia. Like the dirty commie is scoring like crazy too.
You mean the guy in Washington?
Yeah, Ovechkin.
Yeah,
yeah. Are we going to meet the superstar of the day? Is she dropping by? Is that the deal? Marlene Wells scheduled to appear, but she's got Oprah today. She's got a lot of appearances. Oprah's not even on. She's coming back for one show with Marlene. But right now it's 9:50. Bill and Wendy coming up as well on 720 WGN.
Happy anniversary.
50 years at 720 WGN. Favorite a moment with Marlene?
Oh, I can't tell you. It's stuff that she gave me.
Right.
I can't tell you because then she'll have to give it to you.
Marlene has a very special relationship with my brother, Mickey.
Yep.
And she's always liked Mickey better than me. And I can't blame her. Most people do. Dave, anything you want to say to Marlene?
Well, I just want to thank Marlene for getting us through so many remote broadcasts over the past. Well, I started here 33 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine.
What do you want, a medal?
No,
why is it about you? We're talking about Marlene.
Well, no, I was trying to.
It's her day.
I was trying to give some perspective. Sorry, Marlene.
Is it your 20th coming up this week?
Yeah, no, not till next month, but I wasn't going to bring it up. It's Marlene's day.
I know. I was trying
Maybe
to
take
give
a clue.
I was trying to give some perspective to it. That how many remotes there have been, and Marlene's at every single one before any of us get there and after we all leave.
That's why whenever there's one schedule for this show, I don't even show up. I just go, Marlene will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And although we all don't follow it, your attention to detail, Marlene, date, time, where we have to be, what we have to wear. Again, we don't always follow it, but...
Well, Marlene puts that memo out for me each day.
Yeah.
Get up, shower, get in car,
arrive,
go to work.
Arrive.
John, anything you'd like to say tomorrow?
Best hug in the business. Yes. No question about it.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
You are part of the history of this place like almost no one else. I know that people like Orion call you kid. But you've been a great friend to me, and I'm thrilled for your success, and it's amazing. 50 years.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say?
No, it doesn't seem like 50.
It's gone fast?
Very fast.
Can I just say, people who don't even work here know Marlene. Like, friends of mine will be like, oh, how's Mar? You know, everybody knows you, Marlene.
John McDonough. John McDonough runs the Blackhawks, one of the biggest sports names in the country. McDonough loves you.
Love him, too.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, Marlene usually is this pushy about getting on the air. Yes.
Can I ask Marlene, I know you have so many great stories that go on behind the scenes. Is there anyone that you can tell one of your favorites? Kind of something that we don't know?
No, not on
air. That can't be aired? Okay.
Not on air.
It'll all be in the book. By the way, take that before I forget to give it to you. Don't have to open it now. You can open it whenever.
Well, thank you.
Your husband, Rick, and everybody that you drag out to help with our stuff, thank you for that as well. Marlene has been a cornerstone of the promotions department since... Wait, did you start in promotions? I don't know the story.
When I started, the department was sales promotion, research, and merchandising.
All right. And you've worked with everybody through the years of Wally, Bob, Spike, and me. Who's your favorite?
You, of course.
Good call. Solid. Very good call.
She'll tell us off the air.
Very good call.
The truth.
Yeah. Thank you, and happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary, Mom. Happy
anniversary. Wonderful. Yes, and Todd, is today her last day, or we're letting her stay through the car?
Oh, no.
It'd be wrong to let her go today. 9:57, we'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.